Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, I read that South Africa is making some progress when it comes to gender diversity in the boardroom, but the numbers still tell a mixed story. According to the 2024 Spencer Stuart South African Board Index, women hold 37% of board seats in the JSE top 50 companies. That's up slightly last year, 40% of non-executive roles. Encouragingly, though, more women are stepping into leadership positions as board chairs, chief executive officers, and CFOs. But while we're ahead of countries like the United States and Japan, we lag behind global leaders like France. Also, I read work to do on 10 age representation and inclusivity around the table. So what's changing, and perhaps more importantly, what needs to shift? I'm in conversation now with Lisa Mariano, who's co-author of the 2024 Board Index, and I want to look at latest trends in diversity, governance, and that evolving shape of leadership in corporate South Africa. Lisa, a very warm welcome to you. Let's start with that top line, if we can. 37% of board roles held by women in South Africa. Is that growth fast enough, or do you think that we've reached something of a plateau?
Thank you, Jeremy. It's a pleasure to be with you today. I think it's a very interesting question, and one that needs to be answered when one looks at the newly appointed directors. In other words, what is the next generation looking like in order for us to consider whether this is too slow or whether this constitutes significant change? So if we look at those newly appointed directors, almost half of these are women. And if we look at the fact that we have a number of new directors appointed each year in line with board renewals, we see that these 57% of these new directors are women, and half of those are equity appointments. So in many ways, it's looking good going forward. We might have had a relatively stable, steady progression in the past, but it's definitely gathering pace going forward.
And do you think this is just responding to the obvious, or is there a degree of renewed pressure that's being applied?
In our view, you know, board refreshment is always going to be a critical topic. It has to be in order to, you know, a board must keep itself fit for purpose, aligned with the evolving needs of the company. It must have the foresight to see the knowledge gaps, and frankly, the determination to act on evaluations and the courage to make difficult decisions. And that needs diversity of thought, of background, of experience, and of perspectives. And this runs in parallel with, you know, the broad geopolitical and social disruptions that we see. So all in all, it is a response to the world of today, not different to responses in the last decade to the changes in the South African sociopolitical landscape.
And interestingly, new board members are getting younger. That's good, because it goes to your point of different thought and diversity. But older ones are staying longer. So why is that happening? And what are the risks and rewards of this trend, do you think?
Yeah, so what we're seeing is that boards are prioritizing diverse ideas and innovation as much as they're considering sage business acumen that comes with deep-rooted experience. And the impact of that is that boards, both chairs and non-execs, have to navigate the challenges that come with this increased diversity around the boardroom table. Their different communication styles, potential conflicts may arise during decision-making, and so effective facilitation is absolutely crucial, as is respect for these different points of view. Forging consensus requires strong board leadership and a commitment around the table to fostering an inclusive culture. All in the interest of enhanced organizational performance.
And Lisa, against the backdrop of a very progressive constitution that we have in this country, how do we stack up globally in terms of broad board gender diversity? And maybe just explain to me why that is so critical economically and for the financial well-being of a company.
Well, we would argue that diversity can actually be expressed in so many ways. I mean, what matters most is the diversity of thinking. We all know that greater diversity leads to, you know, better debates, better decision-making, better results. But gender diversity, to your point, gets a lot of attention. And we know that, you know, 37% of all directors are women, and 40% of these non-executive directors are women in South Africa. How that ranks in terms of how do we look internationally, you know, just quickly, Ireland leads the way at 65%. But the broader story is one of a slowing pace of change. Now, that could be because there may be minimum targets. Some countries in Europe have government-backed targets or legal quotas, and some may have met those minimums. We shouldn't live in a world of minimums, of course. But in terms of closing the gap, we're at 37% of women. It's up from 35% last year. So, you know, we're getting there slowly and steadily. And the cohort of first-time new non-executive directors is largely female.
But notwithstanding that, Lisa, there is still the issue of churn, and your data shows that women have shorter tenures than men. What's behind that, do you think?
Very interesting. That's very interesting. So one of the considerations that we always face as we advise boards is the fact that, gender aside, newly appointed non-executive directors need to add value. And we have in the past seen waves of individuals, both male and female, frankly, stepping away from executive roles quite early in a career relative to then joining a board. And perhaps as an example, never having been a chief financial officer of an organization, but perhaps moving on to an audit committee where they are required to advise and guide that very chief financial officer that's in the hot seat. So we have, we certainly had a period where that was quite prevalent. We see that anecdotally slowing down. We see far more commitment to executive careers that are more traditional in terms of joining the ranks of board members at a slightly later stage and with more executive experience under the belt.
And explain this to me. 44% of boards did an external evaluation last year. Why is that important? Is it a missed opportunity, maybe, or is it a growth issue? What would be behind that?
So board refreshment is critical, and we see it that slightly dropped from last year's result. But South Africa is very much in line with international standards by way of our board assessments. So we're pretty comfortable in terms of how we rank internationally. And it doesn't worry us. We think that the slight decline from one year to the next is just a function of board renewal processes and tenures and you know, those factors that come into play. But it's critical. The world is changing all around us. It does play out, Jeremy, also if we look at the committees, the board committees. You know, these are specialist groups with very distinctive mandates. And we see, interestingly, in 28% of the boards in our sample, we see new committees with very specific terms required to address topical matters, climate, risk-related, etc. And that in itself is interesting in terms of bringing, in the absence of perhaps a board renewal or a board refresh or a board assessment, but bringing that expertise to the table.
And Lisa, just a final one. Is there a single piece of advice you might give a board looking to future-proof itself over the next 5 or 10 years?
It would be about embracing the opportunity for the next generation of board members. Every South African has the responsibility to think about, you know, what does that next generation look like and what does it need? And it needs, I mean, when we look at the interest from young executives in starting a board, you know, starting to develop a board portfolio, we see they're majority women, but they need somewhere to go. Now, they need to start on smaller boards and gravitate and continue their executive lives, but ultimately be well positioned to ultimately join JSE-listed boards and have an impact on the broader economy of South Africa. Chairs and non-executive directors have that responsibility to provide opportunity, mentorship, and guidance to this cadre of next generation board members.
Lisa Mariano is the co-author of the 2024 Spencer Stuart South Africa Board Index. Lisa, thank you very much.
Our business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.